8:15 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
2 weeks down, 2 weeks to go with our daily training camp reports from the Kansas City Chiefs with the play-by-play voice of Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Chiefs coming off that road game at Jacksonville on Saturday right here on KNSS. A lot to talk about, so let's say good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Stephen, and good morning, Theodore. Good morning, American Ag Credit. And thank you for making it possible at agloan.com, 800-800-3865. Yes. Loss in Jacksonville, and we're back at it today in St. Joseph.
I'm almost surprised you're still not on the air trying to explain the safety and the kickoff rule.
Oh, boy. That put a burr up my butt.
Yeah.
If people follow me on Twitter/X, I gave it 24 hours, but honestly, Jacksonville found a loophole in the law. Give Cam little credit, the Jacksonville kicker. We thought his early kicks, he's just trying to kick it into the end zone and not being tricky to land it into the 0 to 20 landing zone that I talked about with you guys over the last couple of weeks. What he did is landed in the end zone and it spun back into the field of play. Now, in years past, into the end zone, that one bounce would be dead ball at the 30, which is the way it was kind of explained. But then the ball comes back in play saying, no, it has to be down in the end zone under this new rule. So give Jacksonville credit, but it has caused a stir throughout the league of going, did we cover this part of this new rule? So I put it out on Twitter. It's out there. People are wailing and gnashing of teeth. But, yeah, that one got us, along with some other special teams issues, 73-yard kickoff return in the new rule, 28-yard net punt, a muffed punt. It wasn't a great night.
But my impression of this new rule is you've lined up like you're in a line of scrimmage, right? And the kickoff, and the guy gets, and now he's got a 20-yard run to the line of scrimmage. Well, heck, I can get first downs doing that. I like the old rule. Okay.
Well, it sounded cool, but I don't know. It's clunky, I think, is what NFL writer said, but it's two, like I said on the air, on your air, I said two Revolutionary War skirmish lines staring at each other like 5 yards apart. But the guys can't, nobody can move until the ball hits the ground or is received. So Harrison Butker, I did catch up with Butt. He's had to completely change his kicking style. And I asked him with this new kickoff rule how he's had to change his whole mind, body, soul as it comes to kickoffs.
I've worked on it a ton, especially this training camp. Normally we have kickoff return during practice, and then we're doing it in the walkthrough after. And the biggest thing that I need to work on is hitting these low line drive kicks. So your whole career, from high school, college, to my first 7 years in the league, you want to hit high hang time balls as far as possible. Now you're like a golfer. It's a finesse shot. You want to hit it, you know, sub 3 second hang time, try to get it on the ground, create hang time, because I think what the fans maybe don't realize is when that ball hits the ground, the kickoff team can now move. So if I can get a ball on the ground that the returner has to run to pick up, well, now the kickoff team is probably down to the 35-30 yard line, and we can really pin them down close. But I also have to make sure my approach to the ball looks the same, so the returners won't know if I'm kicking the ball to the left or to the right, and ideally that ball is outside the numbers and it's a line drive getting on the ground.
Jacksonville, the Arkansas rookie kicker, took it to another level. He did all of that, but put it into the end zone where it's no longer dead when it bounces. Four now, although that rule could change as soon as the end of preseason. But it just creates havoc. And honestly, in this instance, where you're talking, Steve, if you catch it on the fly, yeah, you can get upfield and get to maybe the 30. But if you do what Cam Little did or what Butker said he's trying to, and it's doing pretty well, then the kickoff coverage team has way too much of an advantage because they're standing in your face within nanoseconds, and it's very hard to block when you're coming full speed at me and I'm 5 yards away from you trying not to block you in the back and get a penalty. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right, beyond that, what are the takeaways from the game on Saturday?
Yeah, where do we go from there, boys? And Ted, great question. You brought it up, and man, you struck a nerve. And yeah. Anyway, the biggest issue would be Hollywood Brown's injury.
Yeah.
And I wish we had our Sedgwick County physicians who love to listen to the segment and our PLOPA Friday reports, because it's part of their AMA accreditation now. that the injury to Hollywood Brown, which you don't want to have in any preseason game or any injury or anything, is similar to the Tyreek Hill injury in Jacksonville, ironically, of 2019. So I'm going to try to get this right. The sternoclavicular injury, and I don't know if it's a fracture, a slight fracture, but what's so dangerous about it, it is where the sternum connects with the clavicle. But that is close to arteries. And it's actually proven fatal in some other instances. And so when Tyreek Hill had the injury in 2019, they took him immediately by ambulance to the hospital, and they did the same with Hollywood Brown. So there's going to be more information on it. Coach will give out more information, Rick Burkholder, our athletic trainer. But you got to get ready if you're Chiefs Kingdom. We've been so excited about Hollywood Brown. We talked about him last week. We featured him last Tuesday. You may have to prepare not to play the opener you're going to have to play the opener without Hollywood Brown.
Yep, we'll hope for good news on that front. What is it for the Chiefs now back to a training camp? What's on cap today?
Oh, this is the hardest 3 days of camp. I tell you this every year. Just be second hardest or hardest because you got to go right back. This is Steve at Boy Scout camp, and then they go to Joyland back in the day, and then they go right back to Boy Scout camp to work on knotting the rope. Like, what? We're going back? And that's the feeling here. But it's raining here today. It rained overnight a good deal. There's a real chance we'll go indoors, but still, it's scheduled to be in pads today. So three practices in pads, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, prior to breaking camp on Thursday. And this is the test of wills. This is the test, especially coming off a game where Jacksonville kind of beat you up. Jacksonville was the more physical team. And so there's a lot to do here in a short period of time, but you will challenge the toughness of this team this week.
If you're a player on the roster that did not have a good day on Saturday, things start to get a little more clinched.
And the lead person there, I don't mind telling you, is a guy I've been bragging up, Nico Remigio, had a bad night. He could have had a touchdown if he keeps his feet on the ground on a throw from Chris Oladokun. Instead, he has the ball ripped from him. Now, he was fortunate it was ruled down. He muffs a punt. He runs a wrong route. He basically spilled his homework or spilled milk on his homework. And so he gets shoved back in the race at wide receiver. But, again, he's got up, yes. And there's a lot of guys that had bad nights that need to have a good 3 days here.
All right. We'll get back at it tomorrow with more great discussion with Mitch Holtis. Mitch, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Cam Little, for bringing up the loophole way to do it now instead of the regular season.
Right. You got that right. All right. We speak with Mitch every morning with a training camp report courtesy of American Ag Credit.
Coming up the Hannity Morning Minutes, Sean questions the vice president candidate's military claims. That's on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS.